Well, that song moved me. I don't know if it did you. I suspect it did. The Lord has done so much for us. We have so much to be thankful tonight. The Lord paid a price that I couldn't pay and you couldn't pay. And He came and He said, come and follow me. Brother Brian went to a verse in his message and he said, no, that's not it. And he moved somewhere else. And the one that he had us go to is when he went by Matthew and he said, come, follow me. And it said, Matthew got up and he went and he followed the Lord. How could he do that? It's because the Lord said, gave him the invitation, said, come, follow me. And tonight, the Lord has given all of us the invitation. And He said, come, follow me because I've paid the price. I'll show you the way. There's a verse in John, and I want to start with that verse, in the 8th chapter, and it said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, you can be my disciples. Do you know what that infers? It infers that the word, the truth, has been given to us. He said, if you continue in it. The Lord gave us His word. He gave us His instruction. He paid the price. And we can love Him in life. And we can love Him in death. And I want to love the Lord. I want to give Him my life in this life. And I want to hear Him say, Rod, you made it. You accepted the price that I paid on the cross. You followed after me. You were willing to be my disciple. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of the Lord for eternity. I'm living for that day. I want to be there. I want to hear those words more than anything else. And the burden that I have on my heart tonight, and I feel like I have this message for tonight. Never preached this message before. Felt like the Lord gave it to me for Jefferson. And I want to share it with you. My burden tonight is this. We have a responsibility. And there is an accountability that comes with the liberty that Christ bought and made available for us. There is an accountability and a responsibility we have with the truth that the Lord brought to us and paid the price and came and made it available to us. And I thought of the parable of the men that He gave the talents to, the people that He gave the talents to. And I've mentioned this many times. He has given us the talent of knowledge, of truth. Most of us that are in here tonight, we've been given many talents of knowledge, of truth. And the Lord wants us to do something with it. The Lord doesn't want us to bury it. He doesn't want us to presume upon it and use it just for myself. But He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be accountable to it. And I feel burdened to do that tonight. And I want to read. I want to start with a profoundly sobering story found in the book of Daniel. In the 5th chapter, it said, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Now listen, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold. And they praised the gods of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And so we find a story where Belshazzar, he was the king. He had all power, had been given to him to do really whatever it was that he wanted to do. There was no one there to stop him from doing and making a decision that he wanted to make. And so as the party went on, and no doubt leading up until this time, he fell into the same problem that Nebuchadnezzar had been in. He became too comfortable with the power that had been given to him. He had become too comfortable, too ready to use the decision rights that had been given to him to focus them back on himself. And so he threw this party. And while he was throwing the party, the thought came to him, you know what? We're having such a great... Go get the vessels out of the temple. Let's drink out of those. We can do that. I'm king. We're here. We're having a good time. And somebody go get those. And he commanded them to go get the vessels. And they brought the vessels in, and the party's going, and they're drinking, and they're living life, and everything is fine. Until, I don't know if one person saw it first, if maybe a group of them, I don't know how it all went, but right about that time, a hand became apparent, was on the wall writing. A hand. Has anybody ever seen just a hand writing on the wall? I haven't, but I'll tell you that if I did, I have an idea that my joints would be loosed too. Sobering? You think maybe the party came to a standstill? You think maybe all that seemed so important beforehand, everything that seemed so important to do, was no longer so important anymore? Because now all of a sudden something was going on that was way beyond them. It was beyond their control. It was a power that was higher than they, and it came down right in their midst. And so the story went on, and we'll paraphrase it a little bit. The king, he wanted to know what was written, and so would you. What is written? And do you think that maybe down in his heart he had kind of a sinking feeling? Like it wasn't good news that was on the wall? And so he called those that he thought would maybe help him, those that he thought had knowledge and the ability. And he called and they looked at it and they said, we don't know what it says. We don't understand. And there was somebody there, the queen. Wasn't it the queen? Remember that there was a man in the kingdom, a man named Daniel. A man who, looking back over time, had demonstrated to be somebody that was in touch with a higher power. And so they called Daniel, and they brought him in, and they asked him, they made known and mentioned, look, we'll give a reward. We'll give things again that satisfy the flesh. That's all the world can give. You know that? That's all the world can offer is things that are so temporary and just satisfy our flesh and things that don't last. You get in trouble and they offer you more of the same thing that got you in trouble. And it's only bigger and better, and the enemy says, if you take that, things will be better. You'll finally arrive. And you get that? You get into trouble, and what do they have to offer to try to offer a solution? More of the same. And people follow that over and over and get in the same trouble over and over.
Well, Daniel came and he said, look, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your, in all of your scarlet and your gold and those sorts of things and your gifts. And he told them, he said in the 19th verse, in the 18th verse, he said, O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages tremble and fear before him. And he began to relate to him a story that he already knew. He already knew this story. And that Daniel began to remind him, Belshazzar, do you remember Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather? Do you remember what happened to him? Do you remember how it was that he got lifted up and he got so carried away with himself and the things that he was so taken with that there came a day that the Lord took him off of his high place and put him out into the field and was driven from the sons of men? And he told him that story. And listen to what he said in the 22nd verse. And thou, his son, you, Belshazzar, hast not humbled yourself and thine heart, though thou knewest this. Though thou knewest all of this. Belshazzar, you knew all of this already. Belshazzar had been given so much. He'd been given the kingship. He had been given the fourth chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel. If you go back and look at it, read it, it's powerful. Nebuchadnezzar wrote that chapter and he sent that out, if I remember right. And he had that to read and he knew the truth. The truth had been given to him. And he told him, you knew this. You knew this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and you have brought the vessels of this house before you. You took that which was God's, and you brought it in here to serve yourself, and you knew all of these things, and you worshipped everything but the one that you should have been worshipping. So you knew all of this. Belshazzar took the things that were intended to adorn the temple of God. Listen here now. I don't think this was by accident. That's my thought on this. That this story wasn't just a story that happened. I believe there's significance to what happened here. He said, this is what Belshazzar did. He went and he asked for the vessels that were intended to adorn, to support, to abide. Where? In the Lord's house. In the temple. The temple that was supposed to be to the glory of God. And he took the vessels that were in there, and instead of using them to bring glory to the Lord, he began to use the vessels for himself. See? That's what he did. And at that point, the hand came. And it said, this is the writing that was written. Don't you know that by this time he had his attention? The hand is on the wall. He began to tell him exactly what had happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He reminded him what he had just done with those things that were the Lord's. And he told him, and you knew this. You knew all of this. And yet you disregarded what had been taught to you. You had this in front of you. You were blessed with the truth, Belshazzar. You were blessed with the truth. And you disregarded it, even though you knew it. It reminds me a little bit of the man that went into the wedding without his wedding garment. He knew he was supposed to wear a garment. That wasn't on accident. He didn't wander in there and then all of a sudden was surprised when the Lord said, "Where's your wedding garment?" He was speechless when the Lord asked him. You know why? Because he already knew. He knew he was supposed to have a wedding garment on. He had been taught. The Lord had been faithful to him. The Lord had been faithful to Belshazzar. He knew. But somewhere along the line, the man that went in without his wedding garment, he wanted to sit at the table. And he wanted to enjoy what the Lord had and provided free of charge. Yes. But he wanted to do it on his own terms. See? He wanted to serve the Lord, but he wanted to do it on his own terms. He wanted to wear what he wanted to wear. He wanted to live his life like he wanted, but he wanted to sit at the table of the Lord and say, I'm sitting at the table of the Lord. I'm partaking of it. I'm with all of the rest of the people here. And the Lord said, where's your wedding garment? And he was speechless. Why was he speechless? He didn't say, Lord, wedding garment? What wedding garment are you talking about? Oh, well, maybe no one told you. No, he didn't say that. He was speechless. Why? Because he already knew. Belshazzar didn't have anything to... What was he going to respond to what Daniel said? Daniel said, you already knew. And you went and you took the things in the temple, the vessels that were intended to support the temple of God, to abide in the temple of God, to glorify the temple of God, and you took them because you had the decision rights to, because God gave those to him. He let him do it. But there was consequences to it. And he said, now you've taken them and you've used them for your own self. You wanted to do what you wanted to do with that God intended to glorify him. So what was the judgment? What was the interpretation? This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. The same message that the man without his wedding garment got. Where's your wedding garment? He didn't have an answer. He didn't have it on. He already knew. He just decided not to wear it. What was the message of the Lord to him? You're weighed in the balances. You're found wanting. You knew. You knew all the time. But somewhere along the line, you became comfortable. Somewhere there was a process that happened. Maybe little by little. The devil came and took a little here. Still, it isn't so bad. I mean, you know, we're drinking out of these vessels, and the Lord knows my heart, and He knows they're for Him, and He's given me liberty, and it's not so bad. And pretty soon, one concession after another, came the day when he walked in, and the Lord said, "Oh, your wedding garment. Oh, Belshazzar, you've lived this way for a while now, but tonight, you've been weighed in the balance, and you're found wanting." It sobers me. It causes a godly fear to come in my life, because we know these things too. Most of us that are here tonight, saints, you have been taught. You've been taught the truth. You've heard the truth for years, many of us. We've been blessed with it. We have it in the Word of God has been given to us. Many faithful teachers have gone before us and have taught us under the unction of the Holy Spirit the truth. This is the way from the time we were children. We were taught, many of us, Rod, don't go that way. It's not wise to go down this path, because while it might seem harmless at the start of this path, if you continue down it, it's danger down there. It leads to things that hurt you. And our objective in life is to glorify God. That's what we're trying to do. So, Rod, don't go that way, because there's danger. Over and over and over. I've heard that. The truth has been brought to me. It's been brought to you. We know the truth. This applies to us. It's speaking to us. And people are doing so much today to explain away. People are pulling up stakes where they shouldn't be pulling up stakes. And you know what happens? People go along and they start looking at where the stakes are. They start looking at the vessels that are in the temple. They think, is it really necessary that it abide there? Is it really necessary that it has to be exactly like this, since I know who they're really supposed to glorify and where they belong, and I kind of know what my heart is, and after all, I don't really find anything that would really keep me out of heaven if I do this. And they start looking at it like Eve looked at the fruit, and pretty soon, one day, people look around them, and they take a chance a little bit. People that know, that's what I'm talking about, took into us tonight, that know. And they reach down and they pull a stake out. And you know what they find when they do that? They find that they can do it. They find that the stake came out of the ground. And they didn't fall over dead. And you know what else they find? They find that they can still have the same profession that they had before. I said profession. I didn't say experience. They can still have the same profession that they had before. But now a stake has been pulled out. And you know what that leads to? It's intoxicated. All you have to do is watch people that do it. That's why young people, children, when parents, when teachers, when ministers say, don't do that. Don't go down that road. Don't let it get started. Because it accelerates. It's never one thing, see? People let up and pull a stake over here, and it affects all the rest of the stakes. The tent that's in the ground, you pull one stake up, and the side falls in. You think, well, I can't put it there, so you put it somewhere else, and it messes the whole tent up. There's, well, to balance this thing out, I need to move this one. And pretty soon, all the stakes get pulled, and they get reset, and then people get comfortable with it, and pretty soon they pull them again because they've done it before, and they still have the same profession, and before you know it, they're the very definition of building their house on shifting sand. It's moving, and it's going over here and over there, and they don't know where their stakes are supposed to be. Well, they think they do, but they don't know. They knew one time. They were taught, build your life. This is safe. This is according to principle. This is according to doctrine. This is consistent with righteousness and holiness. This is consistent with staying out of the plains that are outside of Sodom, which was destroyed along with Sodom. Who here wants to hang out in the plains? I don't. And people say, well, it's not me. It's the Lord that saves me. It's not my works. I am so thankful that it's not my works. If it were my works, I would be lost, and so would you, and all of us would. But when you watch people who start pulling stakes, it starts accelerating. And you find that to start with, it's one thing that becomes an issue. And then all of a sudden, it's this, and it's this, and it's this, and then you don't hardly recognize them anymore. And then they start influencing other people. And their children become influenced by it. And their children's children. And they can look behind them, and people do this. They get up in years and they look behind them and they say, what have I done? How did this happen? Why did I do that? And sometimes they go back and try to put the stake back down where they originally were. And with heartache, look at all of the tents that are out there, those that they have influenced, that are out in the plains of Sodom and in Sodom. Why? They knew at one time, but they chose to do something different. Our Lord paid such a price for our sins. He delivered us from bondage. He gave us liberty. He made us heirs of that which we deserve not. But there is a responsibility that comes with it. I want to read you what Paul said in the 5th chapter of Galatians, in the 13th verse. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh." He said, you have been called unto liberty, but don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. You say, well, what does liberty mean? What exactly did he mean by that? Well, listen to what he said in the 6th chapter of Romans. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now we start beginning to understand where liberty came from. Liberty comes from grace. Our liberty comes because the Lord paid the price in a manner we weren't deserving of. And He paid the price and He set us at liberty. And He put a new heart within us. And He made us want because of our choice. We said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow." He delivered us from the bondage of sin and death by grace and salvation and His Holy Spirit. And He gave us the liberty that results in us wanting to live this way, not as an occasion to our flesh. The Scripture says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Jesus came to write His law within our hearts. And when we open up our hearts and we say, "Lord, I'm done living how I want to live. I want You to fill me with who You are. I am Yours. Lord, I want to be Your disciple. I want to follow You. I want to give You my all." He comes in with His Spirit and fills us with who He is. And we find that we want to live this way. And so we begin to see here that there's no place to use our liberty and say, "Well, it's the Lord's grace that saved me." He already addressed that. He said, "Well, are you going to presume upon the grace because it's not of your works? So now you can go ahead and live however you want?" No, He said, "God forbid. This is what we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from the bondage of the law that we couldn't live by. And the Lord gave us liberty there, and He gave us liberty somewhere else by writing His law within our hearts. I want to live that way." Folks, let us be encouraged and challenged to live this way, to recognize we know the truth. We've been taught this. Don't go away from it. The Lord has an experience and a liberty for us that causes us to want to live this way. I wrote down here that liberty comes in the form of having an experience that causes us to want to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. The liberty that comes by salvation comes in the form of an experience that causes us to want to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. To me, that's liberty. I don't have to live where every day I'm saying, "Oh my goodness, what rules do I have to follow today? And why I have such a hard time doing this? And does the Bible really require this? And the Lord will love me, won't He, if I do this? And I can't find a black and white." I'm saved from that. The Lord has liberty from that, and He's taught us. We've been given this truth on what liberty means. It's not an unconstrained liberty where we just live however we want. It's a liberty that's found in Christ, in the Lord. I'm interested in living in a way that others can follow. And you know what? The Lord's given me the liberty to do that. He's given me the desire in my heart. I want to live in a way that my children can follow and won't find danger at the end of the road that I've started down. I don't want to start down a road and start pulling up stakes and putting my tent in places where are my children going to take the tent? Where are they going to pull up stakes? I set the high standard when they're young. Really, most of the time, children don't live at a higher moral level than their parents. Usually they watch mom and dad and think, that's the high standard, right? I mean, that's what happens a lot of times. And then it goes down from there. All you have to do is look at what happens over time in the world. Morals continually to go down, down, down. And with many of them, the Lord's not even involved with it. That's just the way human nature is. And if I want to live for the Lord, and that's my purpose, I want to live in a way where I'm concerned about, if I pull this stake, where does it lead? If I start down this road, where does it go? And why am I doing this? Am I really yielding myself as my members as instruments of righteousness? The other day I had a thought when I was reading where Peter, when the Lord said he was going to wash his feet, and he said, no, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And the Lord said, okay, well, you won't have anything to do with me then. And Peter said, well, in that case, wash everything, basically. If that's it, wash my hand, my head, my face, my feet. That's what the Lord, that's the experience He has for us. That's the attitude of heart. Lord, what would you have me to do? That is how I want to live. And just as the Lord, through Daniel, declared under Belshazzar, thou knewest all of this. Saints, we've been taught this too. That's my message to you tonight. We've been taught this truth. The Lord's been faithful to us. Do you remember when Paul was preaching to, well, he's basically preaching to King Agrippa. And you remember when he was preaching him a gospel message. And I could just see King Agrippa was listening and he was engaged and he was reaching his heart. And Festus over there, it was about all he could handle. I could just see him over there as Paul was preaching his message and it kept going on. He was just getting more and more aggravated by the minute. And pretty soon he couldn't handle it anymore and he said, you're out of your mind. You've gone mad. And Paul said, oh, wait a minute. I haven't gone mad. And oh, by the way, King Agrippa, you know this truth. You know of this truth too. We know of this truth. You all know of this truth. It's a plain way. It's a simple way. It's a way of victory. It's a way separate from the world. It's a way where we give ourselves into the Lord's care, where we are willing to be His disciples and follow Him. It is a way where we give up self and we die out to self. And where we allow ourselves to be buried in the ground and die, that we can be resurrected with a new heart and a new mind and new purpose. Do you have a new purpose? Have you experienced a new heart? Have you experienced a yearning and a desire, Lord, I want to give you my all? Are you still in bondage? Are you still trying to live according to the law? Listen, if you've been taught the truth and the Lord has been faithful to you, don't go away from it. I'm not interested in seeing what all I can get by with and still make it in. That's not the liberty that the Lord brought. That's not the heart that He has for me. If you find that that's where you are, the Lord has a new heart for you. He has a different experience than that for you tonight. I don't want to be in the place where the Lord stops me one day and I hear a knock at the door and I open it and the Lord's there and He says, Rod, I'm here and it's your turn and you've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. Why? Because I knew. I knew all of this already and I chose to go a different way. We live in a world that is intoxicated and overcharged with self. And we are not unaffected. None of us are.
This world is overcharged and drunk with self and entertainment and pleasures and the things that appeal to the senses. And we find around us that what we are doing, we are going and we are taking the vessels, our members, my hands, my feet, my eyes, that the Lord intended to adorn His temple. You see the analogy? And we are beginning to use them for self. Daniel came and he said, "You knew all these things, Belshazzar. You took that which belonged to the Lord, the vessels out of the temple, and you used them as an occasion to your flesh, and you've been weighed in the balance, and you've been found wanting." And I asked myself, "Lord, You have given me vessels. You've given me members. You've given me an intellect. You've given me eyes, ears, hands, feet that are intended to be used as instruments of righteousness to glorify and honor the temple. That's me. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwelleth in you?" The Lord intended for our members to be used to adorn and glorify His temple. And it doesn't work for us to say, "Well, thank the Lord for grace and for salvation and continue in sin. Could you please bring me the vessels that are supposed to adorn the temple? I'd like to use them for myself tonight in a way that doesn't glorify God, but I'm going to sure hang on to the blood of Jesus." It doesn't work. And saints, you have been taught this. Young people, you've heard this. Many of us here, we have been taught for years this gospel, this truth. We know it. And I think that is why Paul said, "Therefore you ought to take the more earnest heed to these things which ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, and it will, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" I'm challenged tonight. I'm sobered. We can have a false sense of security because of the delayed judgment of God. We can pull our stakes from our tents. We can move them. We can keep having the same profession. We can have people come among us, pull stakes, start going out, using their members, their instruments that were intended to adorn the temple, begin to use them to put themselves on display, to go places, to do things, to entertain things, to let things entertain them that aren't godly, while they still hold the profession. And we can look at that and we can say, "Well, if they can do it and the Lord's bigger, then we're not saved by our works, and He brought us to liberty, He doesn't want us to be in bondage." And pretty soon we are deceived and we are eating of the forbidden fruit. And one day the Lord comes along and He says, "You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting." And if we had the ability before the Lord to say, "But Lord, why? Why am I found wanting?" I wonder if He wouldn't say, "Because you knew. Because you knew. You were taught." Oh, I know it's popular to say, "Well, that's just their opinion, and it's just between me and the Lord, and they're just another person up there preaching, and it's just my parents." Listen, the Lord set members in His body that He works by His Spirit to teach the truth and the gospel. And people that have been born into this and taught this, we have a responsibility that is a high responsibility. It's a wonderful responsibility. I wouldn't trade it. But it is a responsibility. And if we turn from it and we feel that we're at liberty to kind of go and do and still profess,
One day the Lord is going to come back and He's going to knock on our door and it's going to be our time. And if He responded to our reason as to why, I believe He would say, because you knew. You knew this. You knew all of this, but yet you decided to go your own way anyway. Let's be encouraged tonight to do what John told us with the verse that we read at the beginning. Continue in the Word and be a disciple. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We don't have to hear those words, depart from me. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's why Jesus came. He brought a gospel of hope. He brought forgiveness for those things. If you have found tonight that you've been in the place where you've yielded your members as instruments of unrighteousness, the Lord's saying, come. You can follow me. I can give you forgiveness. We have an opportunity tonight to do that. Don't continue in your own way. Don't go that way when we know we've been taught. I want to continue in the Word of the Lord. I want to be His disciple. I want to stay close by Him. I want to hear His voice when He calls. I want to see His expression when He looks at me and has an expression depending on how I act so that I can react. I want to be that close to Him. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.